Man, it's going to be an exciting week this week. VBS is starting tomorrow night. And as we began ordering and creating decorations for VBS, I couldn't help but think about how fun the theme is. I've always loved superheroes. From back in the day up until the original good Marvel movies, not the stuff they're putting out now, but the good stuff. This idea of good versus evil. Everyday guys who are given extraordinary powers to do what was needed in the face of great danger. Man, those stories called to the boy in me, and as I grew, they still resonated within the heart of the man. And as we decorated Wednesday night, this is a masterpiece. I will be taking bids on it when we finish. I mean, it's like 6 hours of, well, I'm kidding. It took us forever. I mean, the instructions weren't good. But as we struggled with that and we kept our language, we reminded ourselves that we are believers and our language should be pure. And when we got to the end, we got to put this sign up, calling all superheroes. And immediately my mind went back to those movies. You know, Captain America was one of the original superheroes. He, even in the comics, he was one of the original. And his origin story made every underdog feel like the impossible was possible. Steve Rogers didn't have size and he didn't have strength. What he had was will and determination and intellect. And it was those three things that got him chosen to be transformed into a super soldier. And this sign reminded me of Cap's iconic phrase that brought the Avengers together. You know, many superheroes have such phrases, all the way down to the Paw Patrol. If you have kids or grandkids of that age now, you know Paw Patrol. And even in Paw Patrol, Ryder says what? Calling all pups to the lookout. I mean, you know, that's part of it. And as I thought about this call to action that was on this sign and our theme this week with the kids, the unlocking of the hero in you, I realized that God is calling all of his superheroes to action. We live in a world of evil. And God has given us powers. We call them in Scripture gifts, to be used to battle the enemy that is in the world, that is of the world. And as I prayed and studied over that thought, God brought me to our call to action. It's found in the words of Paul to the church in Ephesus. It's in Ephesians where we're given the mechanics of salvation, that salvation comes by grace through faith. It's in Ephesians where we're told that we have boldness and access to God. It's in Ephesians where we're told to put on the full armor of God and stand against the schemes of the devil. So it was no surprise to me that God would lead me here to Ephesians chapter 4, where we find our call to be superheroes. And there in Ephesians chapter 4, starting in verse 1, it says, "I therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one spirit, just as you were called to the one hope that belongs to your call, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gift." Let's pray. Father God, we come to you right now and we thank you and we praise you for your blessings. Father, we ask right now that you would take this time and use it for your glory. Father, use me as a vessel. May the words that I speak be yours and yours alone. Father, we thank you and we praise you. And we ask all these things in the name of your son, Jesus, and for his sake. And all God's people said, amen. You know, as I read these verses and I read what to me this week really stood out as a call, I find that we are called to live on purpose. We are called to live on purpose. He says, "I urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called." This isn't, "I urge you to live your life and hope to accidentally be who God wants you to be." That's not what he says. "I urge you to live your life on purpose, to do what you need to do on purpose, to make choices to be who God would want you to be. This is living by choosing daily the path that God has for us. Truth is, I could probably spend an entire series just on this statement. What it means to walk in a manner worthy of the calling. Because man, there is a lot to unpack there. And if we started to try to unpack it all, we would be here all day. But if we put it simply, it's that we are called to live on purpose. Every decision that we make should be done in a purposeful way. Everything we decide to do or not to do, we should run through the filter of, is this worthy of the calling that God has called me to? Everything that we say and don't say, every song that we sing and don't sing, every choice that we make should be done in a way that is purposeful. That we have said, okay, God, is this what you would like for me to do? Is this what you want me to do? Too often what happens is, we get to running out in front of God and we say, God, can you bless this mess that I've created? Rather than saying, okay, God, is this the path you want me to go on? Is this the step that you want me to take? We could all learn a little bit by just stopping and saying, okay, God, before I take this step, I want to clarify, is this the path? You ever been lost? You ever found yourself in a place that you had no idea how you got there? You know, I mean, it's easy to do if you're in the wrong spot, if you're in the wrong city. I mean, I found myself the other day and I turned on a street and it's a one-way street. So then you got to go all the way down to come back around because you can't turn that way. You don't know what you're going to do. Because I didn't take the time to stop and say, okay, what is my next step? And so often God is sitting there, I don't know, I do it with my kids sometimes. I'm going, come on, think about this. And then they take the step anyway, right? I imagine God sometimes, you know, if you believe in guardian angels, mine's probably sometimes going, oh gosh. I mean, you know, because God wants us to stay, okay, which way would you like me to go? You know, we used to play Simon Says or Mother May I. Mother May I is probably a better illustration there. You know, Mother May I. You know, take a step. Mother May I. And then, yes, you may. Or, no, you may not. So often we get there and we say, God, can I take this step? And then we step. We don't wait for God to say, yes, you may. God, can I take this step? He's sitting there screaming no because the cliff's in front of us. And we go, I'm going to take it anyway and hope you bless me on the way down. I mean, I don't know what else to say. Because that's where it is. We are called to live on purpose. We should not be doing things that aren't run through the filter of, does God want this? And part of that is that we're called to act with meekness. We're called to act with meekness. And there's that one of those words again that the world has destroyed. The world would have us to believe that meekness means that we simply don't ever rock the boat. That anybody who wants to do anything to us, we just let them do it and we don't do anything. We define meekness most of the time in our culture as weakness. But that is not biblical meekness. Biblical meekness is that you are not self-willed. You are not continually concerned with your own ways, your own ideas, and your own wishes. You take the community and others into consideration. Meekness means you think about how your actions affect those around you before you act. And we're called to act with meekness. He says what? He says to walk with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love. Those four things, humility, gentleness, patience, and love, you cannot be any of those things if you're only concerned with yourself. You're not going to be humble if you're only concerned with yourself. Time I hear that word. Carrie hears me walk around the house sometimes. I'm like my daddy. I am in a lot of ways. My daddy, I think his favorite song, he wouldn't say it was. But he used to walk around singing that song. And not, some of you young people will think I'm crazy, but the older folks will get it. Oh, Lord, it's hard to be humble, right? When you're perfect in every way. you know, I'll sing around. I'll walk around singing that sometimes just because, you know, it gets under Carrie's skin. But that's really the reason why. But if you really feel that, you're probably not walking with meekness. If when you look in the mirror, you think, man, I get better looking each day. If you look in the mirror and think, there's nothing I do wrong. If you look at your life and you think, man, I've got it all, you're probably not walking how Paul is calling us to walk here. You're not walking with meekness. And gentleness, you know, it's hard to be gentle when you're trying to get what you want. And very hard to be patient when all you want is what you want. And to love someone, biblical love means what? That we put their needs in front of ours. The call to be a hero is literally to put others in front of yourself. If you look at any of the superhero stories from comics, the heroes are always putting their life and their very being on the line to protect those who are in danger. That's what they do. They will stand against all odds to ensure the safety and welfare of others. The call here in meekness is to put the needs of others before ours. The call is to be transformed to a point where caring for others becomes our overarching desire. It's what we want more than anything else, is to make sure that others are taken care of. There was always a strange dynamic for me in the Avengers movies. I don't know how many of you have watched the Avengers movies, but I'll explain them the best that I can in a very short time. Tony Stark was Iron Man. He was a very not humble person when this started out. And he never really got true all humility. He was the billionaire playboy. He always did what he wanted, when he wanted. And even when he was told to hide his superhero identity, he walked out to the podium much like this one and he said, "Well, no matter what you've heard," and he says, "I am Iron Man." Just threw it out there, you know. That's who he was. And he would call Captain America Steve Rogers' Boy Scout, because Steve always wanted to do the right thing. And so there was this dynamic of Tony, who was almost an anti-hero, and Steve, who was a true hero. But time and again in the Avengers movies, we watched as Tony made the choice to sacrifice himself for the welfare of those around him. Time and again, in the first Avengers movie together, he's the one who flew up into a portal, willing to give his life up to save the planet. At the very end, if you haven't seen it, I'm sorry, I'm going to spoil it. At the very end, he dies. I am Iron Man, you know? I mean, he chooses to make this sacrifice. Tony, from the looks of it, had found what biblical meekness means. It didn't mean that he was a shell who got pushed around. It meant a sacrificial nature to his life for the benefit of others. Tony said, "I'm going to do this because it needs to be done, because someone's in danger. Because if I don't do it, who's going to do it?" And so he would choose that. That's our calling, to live a sacrificial life, a nature to our life that says, my life is here for somebody else. And if my life can benefit somebody else, that is what I need to do. That is where I need to be. We are called to act with meekness. But then he goes on to say, we're called to live life together. We're called to live life together. He says, maintain the unity. Now, evidently, even back then, Christians had a hard time getting along. We're human. Here's the deal. God has given us a supernatural ability to get along if we'll do what we're called to do. He didn't say, unity will come naturally. He said, be eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit. Maintenance means work. You have to try to maintain something. If you're maintaining your figure, there's a lot that goes into that. If you're maintaining your car, there's a lot that goes into that. If you're maintaining your lawn, there's a lot that goes into that. If you're maintaining a building, there's a lot that goes into that. Maintenance means that you will have to work. Anything that has to be maintained will take work. So we know here that unity will be work. Unity will be something that we have to work at. That's why the meekness is important. If we try to walk worthy of the calling and we're cultivating meekness in our life, unity in the body becomes a natural byproduct because it's what we desire. If we're cultivating meekness and what we want is for other people's needs to be taken care of, then we're not going to be getting into this thing where we're always fighting, because if everybody wants what everybody else wants, there's unity. Because it doesn't matter if I get exactly what I want. It doesn't matter if the pastor preaches exactly how I want him to preach. It doesn't matter if the music is exactly what I want it to be. It doesn't matter if my class is exactly what I need it to be. What matters is that we all come together and say, you know what? I'm going to follow Jesus, and I need you to have what you want to have, and I'm going to do that. We become eager to have it because we need it. In the Avengers, as you watch the transformation and the story arc through the movies of Steve Rogers, anybody who knew Captain America kept waiting for the iconic line. Everybody did. You're sitting there waiting, going, okay, when's he going to say it? And several times throughout the movies, several times, Cap could have uttered those words to bring the team together. Literally, the first Avengers movie was called Avengers Assemble. He never said it, and it drove us crazy. You know, he brought Hulk in, and Hulk had his famous line about how he's always angry, and that was great, but he didn't say his line. It didn't happen until the very last movie. In the very last movie, in Endgame, Cap is lying in the battlefield. Thanos, the villain, if you don't know who that is on the, and his army are on the other side, and Cap begins to get up, and you see that his unbreakable shield is broken. But he's alone. There was a falling out, a civil war in the superheroes. Maintenance. So, the Avengers no longer trust each other. And they're fighting the same battle in different locations and in different ways alone. But Cap is still going to stand and fight this horde. And then he hears something in his comm, and he looks back, and a portal opens, and Black Panther and some of his party step through. And then one by one, these portals open, and the army of Avengers begins to form behind them. And then in the midst of that, Cap finally utters those famous words, "Avengers Assemble." Man, the theater. Woo, yeah, okay. But here's the deal with this scene. In the comics, Thor has a hammer, Mjolnir. And only the worthy can lift the hammer. No one is able to lift the hammer except for Thor, because he's the only one worthy. But there was a scene in an earlier movie where Cap lifted the hammer just a hair, but he couldn't really pick it up, hinting at the possibilities within it. But now in this scene, as it's building, what actually happens is Cap has stood up. He's standing there. He tightens his shield. He gets ready again, and he looks across thinking, what am I going to do? That's a whole bunch of people, and there's me. And then he hears that come through on his comm, and he looks back, and he sees all this come out. And that's when, in that moment, he says, "Avengers!" And the hammer comes flying through the air, and he catches it, and he says, "Assemble." Boom! And then they win. It wasn't until Cap realized he couldn't do it alone that he became worthy. It wasn't that he realized, I need these people behind me, when he became worthy. It wasn't until he realized that they were better together than they were apart that he became worthy to hold that hammer. We are called to live life together because we're better together. We're called to live life together because we can't do it on our own. When we realize that we're given to each other as a team, as a family, as a set of resources, it's only then that we unlock our true potential, because we can't do it alone. Because what is inside us connects us. We're all gifted from the same source, yet we're gifted individually. We are connected by the same Spirit. We have that connection that brings us together, that makes us stand as one. He said, there's one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one in God and Father, over all and through all and in all. Our source is the same. Jesus, the Holy Spirit, the same power that is within me, the same power that is within Jesus, the same power that was in the apostles is in you if you know Jesus. We're all connected by that. We have that. And it doesn't matter what your gift is, it comes from God. We're all gifted individually. We had the same connection. We had the same spirit. The power comes from the same place, but we are gifted individually. There isn't one gift that's more important than another because they're all required. They all come from the same source. It's like my kids. If you set my kids up here in a row, there are fundamental differences. They don't exactly look alike. They're similar, but they're different. Shiloh has red hair. Nobody else does. Micah's a girl. She stands out different. Asher, blonde hair. Doesn't like to get it cut yet. Drives me crazy. But they're different. But they came from the same source. It's the same way with our gifts. They may be different. My gift may be prophecy, may be preaching, may be doing those things. Your gift may be giving. Your gift may be praying. Your gift may be something completely different. But it's your gift. It comes from the same place. It's no more important than my gift. It's no more important than Barry's gift. Because they are all the same. They all come from the same source. They're all needed. They're all required. If you don't have every gift, if you don't have all of it, it's not complete. I don't know how many times Carrie and I have talked about the fact that she wouldn't listen to me back when we had Micah. That's not... the whole not listening thing, that's a whole other story. But she wouldn't listen to me in that context. Because I had told her before, Micah, we need to discuss if you have a C-section. Because if you do, that would be the time for you to get your tubes tied. I don't want to talk about having a C-section. That's not going to happen. Okay? Guess what? It happened. It happened. And we didn't. But we also talk about now that if we had done that, our family wouldn't be complete. Because without all of it, without all of us, our family isn't the family that it is. It's the same thing with our gifts within the church. Without every gift, without everything that everybody does, without the thing that God has called you to, the family is incomplete. The church is incomplete. The army of God is incomplete. God is calling all superheroes. He's calling you to stand up and to stand out and to step out and to do the things that He's called you to do. Because if God has called you to do something, He's called you to do it. I can't do it for you. Barry can't do it for you. And if you don't do it, who's going to do it? If you don't do it, it might not get done. There is a song back in the day. Second song I ever sang in church. It's by Ray Bolts. It's called Thank You. Second song I ever sang, the pastor who baptized me, I think it was his 10-year anniversary at the church, and they had me sing this song. But even till this day, I think about that. Because the whole song is about the little things that you do and how that'll affect that one life. I dreamed I went to heaven, and you were there with me. We walked along the streets of gold beside the crystal sea. Heard the angels singing, then someone called my name. I turned and saw this young man, and he was smiling as he came. He said, "Friend, you may not know me now," but then he said, "Just wait. You used to teach my Sunday school when I was only 8. And every week you'd say a prayer before that class would start. And one day when you said that prayer, I asked Jesus in my heart." And then another man stood before me and said, "Remember the time a missionary came to your church and his pictures made you cry. You didn't have much money, but you gave it anyway. And Jesus took that gift you gave, and that's why I'm here today. Here's the deal. Man, this is, I don't want to. God has called you to something. God has called you to do something. Doesn't matter how old you are. Doesn't matter if you're the youngest in this church or if you're the oldest. God still has something for you to do. He has something that you can do, that He's called you to do, that He's asked you to do. And all He wants you to do is do it because He's gifted you individually in that moment to do that. Because if you don't do it, nobody else may do it. Nobody else may stand up. It still amazes me with the Christmas story that God went to this little girl in this little town and said, I want you to carry the Savior of the world. But He went to her and she said yes. What if Mary wouldn't have said yes? What if she would have said no? God is not asking you to carry the Savior. He's asking you to follow Him and do what He's called you to do. He's asking you to be that piece of the puzzle. Maybe you're not the head. Maybe you're not the brain. Maybe you're the big toe. Big toe's vital. Ask anybody who's ever lost it. It's vital. You lose your balance. You can't do what you used to do. Maybe you think, man, I'm not much. I can't do much. Maybe that song resonates with you because you're sitting there going, I just don't know. I just can't. Maybe that's you. I don't have anything I can bring. Well, then come anyway. Do it anyway. Because God is saying, step out and do it. And when you do it, when you jump up and you say, God, I will follow you, in that moment, you will be supernaturally gifted with what God wants you to have, and you will be a superhero. Because God uses the church as His hands and feet in this world. And if there are people going to hell in this town, no matter where they're at, whether they're sitting in this church, sitting in another church in some other town, in this town, or just down in the community, if they're going to hell, we have a job to do. And we can't give up and stop doing the things that God has called us to do. Because when we do that, we might as well close the doors and go home. What has God called you to today? Maybe today you have been sitting here going, man, Brother Troy, you just don't know. I just can't do it. You know what? Steve Rogers was a little bitty boy, but when he came out, he was Captain America. Maybe this morning you're thinking, but I've lived in this town my whole life and people know my past. Oh, well, Superman can't be around kryptonite, but you know, he still does what he's supposed to do. Maybe this morning, something has awakened in you. Maybe this morning you hear the call calling all superheroes. Now that's a call for you. Maybe this morning you want to pray. The altar's open. I'll pray with you. Maybe you want to turn into missions or ministry. Maybe you want to join this church in membership. But maybe this morning you've never known Jesus. Maybe you've never taken a step to receive your superpowers. Maybe you've never come down and said, I want to follow Him. I want to go where He leads me. I want to be the thing He wants me to be. I want to know that I'm saved, that I'm sanctified, that whenever I stand at those pearly gates, I want to know that God says, come on in. I've got your place ready for you. Maybe that's you today. Come down the aisle and say, Brother Troy, I want to know Jesus, and we'll go from there. But wherever you're at, whatever you need, give it to Him. Let's pray. Father God, we come to You right now, and we thank You and we praise You for Your blessings.